Welcome everyone to the KickCast. It's a big day today. The biggest match I'm going to say in my lifetime in Australian footballing history on a national scale, domestic scale. It doesn't really get any bigger than this. It's a home World Cup, Australia versus England at Sydney at Stadium Australia in a home World Cup. It doesn't really get any bigger than this. We'll preview the game very quickly. We've got two esteemed guests. We've got Lou Sticker and Wagner Liaccio, one of the best football journalists in the game, one of the best agents in the game, and who better to preview such a monumental fixture? Lou, I know you've obviously talked about how important this is, not just in the sort of footballing zeitgeist of Australia, but also for like national diplomacy and also the ability to get more funding. Just touch on, I suppose, that whole sort of there's a big sort of tussle that we have. Do we want a public holiday? Do we want to get more funding? How do you see it?
Oh, we don't need a public holiday. I mean, public holiday, most small businesses in Australia are still getting through COVID, let alone taking a day off for a sporting event. And what does it actually do? It actually doesn't leave any of a legacy. I think the attention that the Matildas have brought and the Women's World Cup has brought to the game in Australia, it has already made an incredible impact. Whether we win tonight, whether we win the final, is almost irrelevant. So based on some of the politicians wanting to give us a day off, I would say to that the Matildas have already done such a huge job that governments, state and federal, should be rewarding the game with funding for expansion based on what has been achieved to date. Winning the trophy isn't really, apart from the obvious satisfaction, shouldn't be the way we judge what the Matildas have done. The Women's World Cup has shown Australia, the 26 million that live in Australia and our friends across the ditch in New Zealand, another 4 million. Two countries with a combined population of 30 million have put on an incredible first-class world event. It goes to our reputation as a country that is great at running international events. We've had a number of Olympics. We've got another one coming up in 2032. We are a country that can and has shown an ability to do the very best on the international stage.
And I guess for you, Val, obviously, as a South Australian, the Premier there announced, I think, $18 million for funding, and 10 of those, yeah, 10 million that's going to football. And I think that's being matched by Football South Australia, if I'm not mistaken. So what's the reception been like in South Australia for that? And it's something that all governments should follow, in theory.
Oh, absolutely. It is very good for the game. What sort of concerns me a lot about what's happened in this World Cup, and I warned a lot of people back in January, February to jump on, particularly people at club level, jump on the Women's World Cup, get your clubs organised, because this is going to be massive. I've been lucky enough to be at a couple of Women's World Cups in Canada and in France, and what I'm seeing from my point of view is a lot of these clubs have been sitting on their hands while the Matildas are just barnstorming through the tournament. And this buzz, there's an absolute buzz for the Women's World Cup. And I don't want this just to be a tournament where the Matildas do really well. They've done really well up to date. I expected them to get into the top four. Hopefully we get into the final and win it. But where are we going after this tournament? In terms of football, are we ready for this? I don't think so.
Define ready, I suppose. I mean, I guess both of you can elaborate upon that. So how come we aren't necessarily ready per se for this as a... I've seen Football Nation be sort of being put around the Twitter zeitgeist a lot. Are we not ready to be that as of yet?
No, it's not. It's clubs aren't ready. We're going to get this huge influx of players, boys and girls now, jumping on board because they've seen the joy that the Matildas can bring to the game and the rest of the world that came to play in our country and in New Zealand. And I don't think clubs are structured well enough to actually support this major boom that's about to happen. That's my main concern.
Intriguing. And I guess that lends it to why we need sort of government investment. Lou, I guess your thoughts on sort of, I guess, the way that this tournament has been structured within, I guess, a media sense. Obviously, a lot's been talked about the lack of games that have been on free-to-air television, and obviously the Optus Sport having the majority of the television rights for this tournament. And that's obviously been a big bugbear for everyone sort of involved. But I guess it's sort of, if you're not going to make the necessary bids for it within a financial sense, you don't really deserve it, do you?
Well, look, I don't know what people are complaining about. I've watched every game on Optus Sport. The fact that not all the games are on free-to-air, well, you know, I mean, that's why you've got choices. People have got the choice to watch it on free-to-air when it comes up, or make sure that they watch every game by going to Optus Sport. I can't fault the World Cup as a tournament. I can't fault the amazing crowds that we're getting at every game. I can't fault the passion and the colour of the people attending. The fans have been incredible. I think that there's always an element of the community that can pick faults and pick reasons why it should be this and why it should be that. The fact of the matter is, this Women's World Cup has been a resounding success. It has opened the eyes of the majority of the population who, let's call them, let's say, not rabid football fans. It has opened up the whole country to the Matildas as a brand, as a team. It's opened up the individuals that play for the Matildas, where it was predominantly Sam Kerr. Now we have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Matildas that are now respected and well-known across the marketplace. And the fact that cities that hosted games where the Matildas weren't involved, to see the various communities come out, the Colombians, the Germans, the Koreans, the Japanese, has just been amazing. I don't know how many of those people have come in from overseas, but it doesn't really matter. Every game was well attended. The countries were represented by the flags and the colours within the stadium. I mean, the presentation of the stadiums, you know, people bag FIFA for a lot of things, but I've got to tell you, FIFA tournaments, the way that they insist they take over a stadium 6 weeks before the tournament starts to ensure that the stadium is presented in the colour and the you know, the boards that FIFA put up around the stadiums, the quality of the pitches, you know, I mean, the pitch of, you know, the playing surfaces have been first class. So the whole tournament, for me, I cannot fault a single thing, both in the teams, in the stadiums, and in the fans. I mean, I attended Australia-Canada at the Rectangular Stadium in Melbourne. And, you know, I go to a lot of A-League games, and I've been going to the football for a long, long time. And after a while, you get to know the faces. And let me tell you, there were a lot of people in that stadium watching Matildas versus Canada that aren't regular attendees of football. To see, you know, what really struck me was about 20 young men in front of me, the way that they were passionately supporting the girls running around, you know, in green and gold, is just amazing. So the cut through, whichever demographic, whichever KPI one wants to use, the Women's World Cup that's been held has been a resounding and outstanding success. My issue now is that this now presents and highlights some of the faults that we've got within our game. I don't want to be negative Nelly, but in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, when the A-League's about to start, I don't see the correlation between the massive crowds and TV audiences that have been following the Women's World Cup. I don't see how they are automatically just going to flow into the A-League and the W-League. The game in this country needs to work really hard to transition all this interest into the domestic competitions. Now, there'll be reasons why the same numbers won't follow that. I prefer to leave that aside. My issue at the moment is that the success that we're having at the moment also highlights one of the
flaws that we've got within the game in Australia, and that is a structural flaw. Governments, be the federal or state governments, are going to be bombarded with requests for funding. And I applaud South Australia for getting on the front foot and doing what they've announced yesterday. But the biggest problem that we've got is if you're the sports minister, the federal sports minister, you're getting applications for funding from one federal body, which is Football Australia, six state organisations, and two territories. So we've got nine different groups going to our federal and state governments seeking support, whereas the AFL, the NRL, the ARU are the sole voice for their game. So what I see is that Football Australia should be the only body that represents football in this country. And we would get a much better result if we've got one organisation going, looking for support, be it at federal and state governments, be it at local councils, and be it with corporate Australia. There's a lot of money out there, but when you've got eight, nine different groups asking for it, it loses its impact. Okay, so that my issue now is, how can we as a game look inwardly and say, we need to fix how we go about dealing with government? That's my issue.
Completely agree. And I think that sort of is an issue that I think has to be discussed extensively after the game and after the World Cup, should I say. And I think it's really going to be a wake-up call for a lot of these, you know, state federations and also Football Australia as well. And it's a big item for James Johnson to tick off on his agenda as well. Just casting our focus to the game as a whole, Diaco, obviously Australia getting through by the skin of their teeth against France. England, you could say as well, relatively speaking, against Colombia. Obviously, they had a better performance on paper, you'd have to say. Without Lauren James, they're obviously significantly depleted. How do you see this one panning out?
Oh, I think it's going to be an exciting game, the one that's coming up. Just before that, Neil, I just want to pick up on what Lou and Val said about the game. It's a really good point that both gentlemen mentioned. I think we are now confident after this massive achievement, which definitely it is a massive achievement. We're definitely going to sit. I think Football Australia wouldn't have any problem, like say, for example, sitting on a good cushion of cash that is going to come, hopefully. The resources in terms of money would be there. But if you look at it from a project perspective, what's in the scope of this project? Yes, now you got to bring the leagues into it. You got to bring the Women's League, the Men's League, the B League. Of course, and the first thing you would see in a good project is the channels of communication with your stakeholders. There's a lot of resources that now just needs to be, I think, utilized appropriately. One thing that I was worried about before the World Cup was very interesting. I was thinking, like, you know, we're not hearing much. There's so much that can be done, perhaps, like, it's not happening, you know, but then now that's happening, you can see that is actually automatically engages everyone, and you know, the hype is out there, and everyone's talking about it. And I've never seen a Women World Cup. I think as we are evolving as a football nation, I think the game, the landscape of the game is changing as well, and both with the men and women, but with the women in particular, you can see that how every Women World Cup is different to the one before, and every time it's getting more and more evolved and very fast, in a very fast pace, in fact. So I think and the games that we saw last night, for example, it was a good example of that. How Spain played for the first time in the World Cup against Sweden, like that, you know, they had that kind of confidence. And so the landscape of the game is changing with the women's side. But for Australia as a legacy, I think there is a lot that is yet to come. And I think, Lou, you're right. Absolutely spot on. I think we just need to kind of think about, like, how we're going to structure those and how we're going to interpret that into the to the football in the nation as in whole. Back to your question, sorry, Neil, because this is like a really good conversation that Lou and Val we're talking about. So in terms of the games that how it's going to go now, I think, you know, a very interesting game last night. I don't know what you guys thought about it, but and I want to know in your opinions on it. But I thought Spain had a great game plan. They played that typical Spanish tiki-taka game that is in their blood. And you know, it was expected. Sweden, very good defenders, tall physics. They were good in the air, but then again, the game plan was lacking. And you could see, like, you know, Spain was, like, you know, outstanding throughout the game by far. And I think they had, like, over 67% possession as well over the game. So it's going to be a tough one for the final game. But back to the Matildas, I think for Matildas now we're going to have a very exciting game against England. England's got they've got a very solid side. I was in the training yesterday at Terrigal, and I saw the training. They are actually in very good shape mentally and physically. They've got, except for one of the key stars that they lost, they've got good replacement, they've got good formation, and seems that they're very ready for it. So it's going to be exciting how it's going to play out.
I guess, Val, your vantage point, how do you see things panning out tonight?
It's going to be a difficult game, that's for sure. But the good thing is a lot of our Matildas actually play in England, and they know their players, and a lot of them are teammates as well. I think the key to Australia winning this game is, I'm hoping that Sam Kerr starts her first game of the tournament and replacing Van Egmond. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think Mary Fowler's a number 10. She's not an out-and-out striker. No. And she, for me, is the most dangerous player we have in the squad. But in saying that, England are tough, hard to break down, very well organised. And if we can get that first goal early, I think it will be a dream start and we'll go on to win it in 90 minutes. Otherwise, we've got to batten down the hatches, make sure we don't make mistakes, and just keep going as we have been going over the last three or four matches, because the Matildas are powerful and they've got a very strong culture by the looks from the outside. And, yeah, so I think not too much has to change in the way Gustafsson sets up his team. Like I said, I'd like to see Van Egmond perhaps relegated to the bench and Kerr coming in. And I think, and we've seen, as soon as Kerr comes onto the pitch, a lot of the opposing defences really are shaky. And that's the key, I think, tonight, just that tactical change.
And I guess, Lou, your perspective on the game, and then we'll wrap things up.
Look, I think that this is a World Cup. The window for this group of players, it's here. This is their window. I mean, we have a very experienced team. Apart from Mary Fowler, most of the other girls are probably in their last third of their careers. They're not going to get a greater opportunity to win a World Cup than what they have before them. I see a belief in the team. I see this camaraderie that is really exciting. I think they are so focused on winning. I don't think anyone's going to stop them. Now, football is football and anything can happen. But I think that this is a World Cup. We will not get a better opportunity to win it. They can feel it. I can sense it. We can all sense it. And I really do. I do really see Australia going on, getting through tonight and into the final.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summation from all three of you. I guess if anyone got any final thoughts, feel free. But if not, then yeah, best of luck tonight. Anyone?
One thing that I wanted to add on that, Neil, I think I've heard here and there people saying, like, you know, just we're not just ready yet for the major events like that in a final. But I think we totally are, Lou. I think we are ready to be in a final, and I can see us in a final. Good luck for the Matildas.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. Absolutely. Thank you for your time this morning, everyone. Just a quick little podcast. You can catch everything else on our website, key360.co. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. And we'll see you guys very soon for some more footballing endeavors. Thank you.